Lou Manfredini here. Do you have cracked or sunken concrete areas around your home? Call PermaSeal for a free estimate. Don't replace it, raise it. Call 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
That is the sound of a nuclear reactor starting up as we bring in, I hope he's not radioactive in that sense, Rod Pyle, editor-in-chief of Ad Astra magazine. Thank you for coming on. I know you were on just a while ago talking about sci-fi movies, but who else would I turn to when I hear that the acting director of NASA says that we need to put a nuclear reactor on the moon? And he's
nukes
serious.
On the moon. Yeah. I'd come on every day if you have me, you know?
But I felt that this was that. Right. I felt this was right in your, your sweet spot, so to speak. I mean, this is actually a space thing.
Yeah, it's in my radioactive fallout zone.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So we've got this new interim NASA administrator, Sean mm-hmm. Duffy, who's also the Secretary of Department of Transportation. So he's sort of double tagging here. And there's a number of people in Congress that aren't happy about that. He has a space-related background of zero. He was a reality TV star, a Fox News host, and a congressman. So he knows politics, and he has Trump's ear, which is a very good thing, you know, at the cabinet level for an NASA administrator. That's rare. But he's spreading himself pretty thin, is the thought. But he came up with this idea, which has been, it's been in the hopper for decades. You know, we're going to need reactors in space. Now, the U.S. flew a fission reactor in space in 1965 called SNAP-10 as an experiment, and it worked fine. The Russians have flown a couple dozen of them. Some of those worked fine. Others reentered and made messes. One particularly famous one broke up over Canada, which was really bad. So there's some risk there, primarily during launch. But the idea here is, as we've discussed many times, we're planning to send astronauts back to the moon, we being the U.S. We know the Chinese are planning to send theirs by 2030, although, as I've noted, I'm pretty sure that's going to be late 2029 for political reasons. And the Chinese have said, we're going to build a moon base and we're going to have a nuclear reactor to power it by 2036. So 2 months later, we said, hey, we know we just canceled our 40 megawatt reactor that DARPA was making for space flight, but we're going to make a new one for 100 kilowatts, to power our moon base. And why do we need this? Well, both we and China want to put our moon bases down the South Lunar Pole where there's water resources, but it's also dark and cold all the time. Solar panels won't really cut it, so you need a nuclear reactor. The big news here is that whoever gets there with a reactor first and gets it landed and operating can then claim an exclusion zone. So while you can't claim property on any celestial body, according to the 1967 Outer Space Treaty, you can say, hey, it's dangerous if the reactor goes sideways and does something awful. We need this much of an area clear. You can make that as big or as small as you want. And that de facto could keep us from working where we want to work on the moon. And that's why we're doing this.
You know, on the surface, I thought it was entertaining reading it. But hearing you, I take all of that back. This is like an actual thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we can actually take a nuclear reactor and put it on the moon. I just felt that was like, really? What about where is everybody going to live? I mean,
it kind of feels like Eisenhower's old Atoms for Peace with the reverb thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, and this is pretty small. You know, I had to look it up. A 100 kilowatt reactor could power about 6 to 8 typical U.S. homes. A nuclear submarine reactor is 40 to 50 megawatts. So this is just a fraction of that. So it's small, but it's a start. And, you know, if we're really serious about doing this moon base thing, and if we're really serious about landing there, we'd probably need this. Now, there are a couple of other thoughts rolling around, and this is just my opinion, but I think there's a lot of concern that we're so far behind on the Artemis program, the Lunar Landing Initiative, that maybe we're starting to say, okay, we better be doing something that's geopolitically visible that says we're going for the long haul, because they're probably going to beat us back there. They're going to make a landing. It'll be a quick land, grab some rocks, come home thing. At that point, we can say, well, we've always been planning for the long term. And to prove it, we've got this reactor that we're going to send there next week or whenever it's done.
Right.
So I think there's a geopolitical thinking behind this.
So we have taken like the old Russian USA space race and turned it into a USA China nuclear reactor race. Would that be right?
That is exactly correct, sir.
Yeah.
For better or worse. And, you know, if you want to get something done in the U.S., pose it as a competition, and we rise to the challenge. And, yeah, we're not going to let them beat us.
Right.
But if you just say, well, we ought to go back someday. And, you know, this we ought to go back someday conversation has been happening since the 90s. We started, we stopped, we started, we stopped. Then another example is this DARPA nuclear space reactor, 40 kilowatts. We started, we canceled it. And now we're going again, and we cancel as many things as we start. And at the same time we're doing this, they're cutting the NASA budget by 25%.
Now, so wait a minute. How can that be?
Head scratcher.
How can that be? How can you cut NASA by 25% and put together a nuclear reactor, go to the moon?
Because you kill a bunch of robotic missions and the support for them, and you channel the money that you save from that into human spaceflight, so there's actually a little bit more going to human spaceflight than there was, even if this reduced budget goes through. Now, it hasn't yet.
Got it.
The House and the Senate are pushing back on it, so we may well end up with something about where it was. But, you know, notably, Space Force gets more money for space every year than NASA does, and they don't even fly people. So... You know, how do you, I don't know. It's got a lot of us scratching our heads.
Well, you know, I'm not scratching my head so much anymore after talking to you. As I said just a few minutes ago, I thought this was hysterical. If I was being honest, let's put a nuclear reactor on the moon. Oh my God, that's so funny. No, it's not.
Yeah.
After talking to you, I mean... You know, he's got the idea, and it sounds like they've got the ability to do it, right? They've done.
If we really put our minds to it, we could get this thing up in 3 years. This is not a huge challenge. We've flown reactors before. We've tested nuclear rockets on the ground for hours and hours and hours at a time. They work great. We just lost the will to do it. And most of this came to a halt around 1968 when Earth Day was founded. And then in the ensuing few years, people were so sensitized to this whole fear of nuclear reactors, which at the time made sense because they were kind of dangerous early on, that they just stopped. And then, of course, if you're launching these things, you have the additional concerns about it exploding and spreading fallout all over the place. In general, most nuclear stuff that's launched in space is used for what they call atomic batteries, which is basically just a bunch of fuel pellets surrounded by a device that generates electricity from the heat, no moving parts. And those things are put in a big ceramic cask. So even if the rocket explodes, they just fall in the ocean and no harm done. But a full reactor is a different story. You've got to actually make sure that this thing is sufficiently shielded and protected while still being lightweight, that it doesn't land in John Landecker's backyard and make you grow tentacles and extra eyeballs.
Well, I could probably, maybe I could work at two stations at the same time. So there's another second directive that could accelerate efforts to create a commercial space station to replace the International Space Station. And this news thing I have here says NASA will seek more proposals within 60 days and that eventually down the road, they're going to take proposals for constructing it. And that's what I can't wait for. I want to see who the people are that get in line, hopefully, to do the International Space Station thing.
Well, so we're going to deorbit the International Space Station sometime between 2032.
And
we're hiring SpaceX to push it out of orbit, and it'll come down to the ocean, and that's the end of that.
Yep.
There are four companies, three of which already have contracts with NASA to do this under a program they started a few years ago for commercial space stations to initially, in some cases, dock with and then separate and fly independently of the ISS. So they've been working on this for years. There's another company called VAST in Long Beach near me that actually does not have a NASA contract but has built a private space station and is ready to fly it next year. So there's a lot going on there. So I have not really been able to figure out why there's a new announcement to bring in more companies when they've already got four private actors who are working very quickly in most cases to get this thing made. A couple of them have done pressure testing. You know, it's a matter of just getting the money. Now, one thing I did note in the articles about that is that one of the complaints has been that the administration's been dragging their feet on funding this stuff adequately. And this happened with SpaceX too. You know, when we said, hey, Boeing, SpaceX, build a space capsule so we can get people to the space station without flying with those icky Russians. The answer was yes, and we'll get back to you on the money. And they underfunded them for about 5 years, which is why it took so long. So I think the same thing's happening here. So maybe this is a way to spin a demand for more money for these guys by asking them to either submit or resubmit proposals. Time will tell.
Well, thank you for coming on. You have totally reorganized my thinking on this entire subject.
Can I add one quick thing?
You certainly may.
There's a number of solar eruptions on the sun happening right now. One's a coronal mass ejection, and you may be able to see the aurora from your part of the woods in Chicago.
Really?
Sometime at the night of the 8th, and you'd have to get into pretty dark areas, so that's a challenge. But if you get a chance and you want to spin out to the countryside, this is your chance to see the Northern Lights.
Okay. Another fine contribution. Thank you, Rod. Always good to talk to you.
Take care.
It's nice to have a space expert as a friend of the show. That's all I got to say. Rod Pyle, editor-in-chief of Ad Astra Magazine.